You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network. Talk Radio Network is the hottest online radio station heard globally. We feature the best radio shows, the most amazing hosts, and hot topic panelists. We produce and support fabulous events globally as well. We work with the most dedicated community partners, period, point blank. I started We Talk Radio Network in 2010, and guess what? 10 years later, we are still celebrating and providing the best radio shows, best special guests, the most incredible music, blogs, events, and more. We have informative shows, inspirational shows, music shows. We even have two youth shows. We invite you to be a part of the family. And you can do that by following us on all our social media platforms and by going to www.wetalkradio.com. WeTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Shine Lord Radio Show right here on We Talk Radio Network.
Trying to hustle hard, but don't nobody want to talk about God. Trying to get it in, we trying to win, but don't nobody seem to know where to begin. Well, I'ma tell you something, I hope you listening. Life gets better when Jesus is your friend. You can tell him anything, he'll tell you everything. No competition, how you win it every day.
Shining bright, going hard, living big like a star. Now I can understand, you got ambition. You've been dreaming big since you was a kid, waiting for the dream to come alive so you can live. Well, I'ma tell you something, I hope you listening. Life gets better when Jesus is your friend. When you give him everything, he'll give you everything. No competition, how you win it every day.
Shining bright,
going hard,
going hard,
living big.
T-Real, call the Lord. Tell them how you feel.
You an adrenaline junkie? Have you ever wanted to throw an axe, try your hand at archery, or just smash a bunch of stuff to smithereens?
Oh.
Then come embrace the rush at Endorphin Factory, the number one demolition room in Texas. Family owned and action packed. Our factory is your playground. Blow off steam in our state-of-the-art demolition rooms. Hit bullseyes on our interactive archery targets. Or just grab an axe and start throwing. Whatever creative outlet you choose, you're sure to have a smashing good time. Come release your stress and book your next rage room experience at Endorphin Factory for the thrill of a lifetime. Book your appointment today at EndorphinFactoryUSA.com.
W Mind Block Radio. Turn it up.
The sound.
On this morning here. It is a 30 degree day here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It is super cool. I think the wind chill said that it feels like it's 21 degrees. 21 degrees. I'm going to say, you know, maybe 21. Isn't that Ezekiel Elliott's number? Isn't Zeke 21? Okay, that might mean something there for our Dallas Cowboys on today. Sorry for you 49ers fans. I'm a Cowboy fan, and I want us to beat y'all. I'm just going to keep it real. I want us to beat y'all. But listen, thank y'all for joining us on today. I am Pastor Jeremy Glenn here of this dynamic, wonderful institution called Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And we want to welcome you to come grow in the soil with us. Before I get started here, I just want to just make a couple of announcements here on this morning. We've got some birthdays. I want to give some birthday shout outs to Kia Davis. Kia Davis, happy birthday to you. You know what you mean to this church and for all of us. And we thank you for all that you do and for all of your broadcasting on We Talk Radio. And also want to give a birthday shout out to my Aunt Evelyn. Aunt Evelyn in Midland, Texas. Happy birthday to you. And thank you for all of your support and love that you show for our ministry as well. And also want to spend a I just want to let Melinda Rojas know, my good friend from the Midland, Texas area. Our heart is with you. Thank you for sharing with me about your family. And we're praying for you. I just want you to know that we're with you. And our heart is with you on this morning. And if there's anything we can do for you, we are, in fact, here for you. OK, so I want to thank you all again for joining us on Facebook Live, joining us on YouTube Live on We Talk Radio, where we talk, we listen, and we take action. Well, you guys know, excuse me, we've been in a series here since the start of this year. And we've been in the series because we're going through the process here of talking about building. And when you're building something, building comes with a certain structure. Building something is done in decency and in order. And as you've heard me say before, the Word of God, it speaks to us, lives through us, and it meets us wherever we are. Wherever we are in our lives, that's where the Word of God will meet you. And this is what Jesus did, okay, when he chose the disciples. Wherever they were, whatever they were doing, however they were, whatever state they were in, he said, come. That's all he asked them to do was come. He didn't say, make yourself perfect. He didn't say, try to put on airs or try to act like you're this, that, or the other, whatever. He just said, come. I will do all of the making. I will do all the prepping. I will do everything else. I just need you to come. And that's what Jesus did. He met them where they were. And today, even today, more than 2,000 years later, he will meet you wherever you are. This is why Jesus is, in fact, the greatest leader of all time. He is the greatest leader of all time because he knew, okay, in order to build something sustainable, not just build something, but to build something sustainable. We're talking about building something that has lasted more than 2,000 years. In order to build that, it had to be built on a solid foundation. It had to be built on a solid foundation. And as you see our first slide, we're going to put our first slide up this morning here. The first thing needed in order to build something sustainable is a solid foundation. Is a solid foundation. This is what I want us to understand. That when Jesus came, he came to give us life. And not only did he come to give us life, ladies and gentlemen, he came to give us life more abundantly, but he also came to establish the church. He knew that we needed a structure to follow. He knew that we needed something to help us stay focused. And he also knew that we needed an establishment. We needed an entity to be able to come together as one. And this is why we don't want to forsake the assembly of one another. This is why we want to come together as they did in the upper room. And therefore, he came to establish the foundational principles of the church, because the church is where we meet God and the church is where we need God. We need God and we come to God because it's on his church. It's on this rock. It's everything that he built, he established. It is built for the church. Okay, this is why he said, okay, he's coming back for that church without spot or wrinkle, that bride, right? The church is known as the bride of Christ. This is the importance and the significance of the church. So he wanted to make sure that it was sustainable. He wanted to make sure that it was something that would last until he returns again. So therefore, he understood the importance of building something on a solid foundation. But as we've learned now, we better understand that it's no coincidence that Jesus was a carpenter by trade, because he knew that he was going to build people first. And once the people were built, then the entity would be built. That's what he understood, that once you build your skills and once you build everything that you need to be a part of something major, then the entity can go forth. And that was the carpentry brilliance of Jesus during this process. And therefore, he understood the importance of a solid foundation, as you heard me say before. But take a look at this next slide that we have up on this morning. Foundation provides a structure stability from the ground. Okay? A foundation provides the structure's stability from the ground. This was, again, I say, the genius carpentry skills of Jesus by understanding that. He didn't want the frames, the structural frames. He didn't want the rooftop. He didn't want the windows. He didn't want the bricks to be laid. He didn't want any of those things first. He wanted to take time with the foundation. I remember when, I think you've heard me say before, when the AT&T Stadium, Cowboy Stadium, was being built, they spent quite a few years of just getting the foundation maneuvered. There was a lot of dirt work, a lot of moving, a lot of dirt pushing, and they spent a lot of time with the foundation. So nothing wasn't eye appealing. There was no eye candy out there. It was a lot of dirt work, dirty work that had to go on. And that was the significance, because you knew that this massive structure was going to have something to hold it together, something to make it sustainable. So the dirt work had to become the first work. The dirt work had to, in fact, become the first work. So before something can be built, it has to be built on a structure of a solid foundation. Now, what I want us to know and understand, as we've talked about, remember we talked about this great survey, Jesus asked those that were following him, he asked them some questions. He wanted to give them a survey, and he wanted to ask all of the disciples here, as we read in Matthew 16 and 13, when Jesus says, who do men say, I'm the Son of God. Who do men say I am, as you see up on the screen? He's given this survey, the survey of all surveys, because he's going somewhere with it. Remember, as we said, a leader knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. So he's going to kind of stop what he's doing right now and kind of take a look at those that have been following him and says, who do men say that I am? And again, it wasn't that he was concerned about what others on the outside of that group of 12, he wasn't really concerned about what they said, but he wanted to know about those that he handpicked. What are those that he handpicked saying about him? What are those that thinking about him, that have seen him, those that he chose and said, come follow me, because I'm going to do something with you and for you that's going to establish your purpose. What do men say that I am? I want to listen to what you're listening to. I want to know what's affecting you. I want to know what's getting on the inside of you. And therefore, he wanted to know and understand who do men say that he was. But I want us to know something here. For a long time, Jesus didn't ask that question as they were following him, because he knew that there was going to become a season when he needed to ask that question. But during the time that he asked that question, here's something that Jesus did. We hadn't talked about this. He went just a little bit deeper with this survey. He went a little bit deeper because he really wanted to know and understand, what is the level of effectiveness my ministry is having? They've seen the miracles. They've seen water be turned into wine. They've seen the paralytic be healed. They've seen me walk on water. I need to know who else knows about what they're saying. In other words, are these disciples going out and are they testifying about what they're seeing? Are they really, really, really going out and marketing the word? Are they getting the word out? Because maybe not everybody had a chance to see it, but are they also going and saying, here, let me tell you something that I saw. Let me tell you something that I witnessed with my own eyes. Do they understand that this is all about them getting the word out? So Jesus went a little bit deeper than this survey. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to go deeper with me. I don't want just a surface level relationship with Jesus. I don't want to just go through what we call quote unquote church flow. I need every day to be flow. I need the Holy Spirit to flow. I need everything to flow. And I need to go deeper with Jesus every single day. So when he's asking this question, because he wants to go deeper than just what they see. So what he wants to do is he wanted to understand that not only did he want to know what men said, but there's going to be a little bit deeper process here with this survey that he wants to know for himself. So what I want us to understand, because if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. And the deeper we go with Jesus, the deeper he will, in fact, go with us. Now, during this survey, this is a survey that goes deeper than any Gallup poll. This is a survey that goes deeper than any Google review. This is a survey that goes deeper than any Nielsen survey, because he wanted to know the deep thoughts of those disciples. So he wanted to know the deep thoughts of those who he handpicked and who they were also associated with. So in Matthew 16 and 15, Jesus says, but, okay, he heard that they said, some say you were a prophet. He heard that they said some thought you were Jeremiah or Elijah or one of the other prophets. He heard that some said maybe you're John the Baptist or somebody along those lines and one of them. But Jesus said, I get all of that. I expect them to answer this question like this. But let me throw this around because I want to go deeper. Who do you say I am? He says, who do you say I am? That's what he asks. And as you see, we're getting ready to put up another slide on this morning here because the greatness of leadership resides in listening. The greatness of leadership resides in listening. And he heard what most were saying, but he was keyed into what this one particular disciple was getting ready to say. He was keyed in as he surveyed. He said, who do you say that I am? But then he goes into eyelock. With this one particular disciple. He goes into eyelock with this one particular disciple and he's waiting on something special to happen with this particular moment here. And he was waiting on what Simon was getting ready to say. And as we know on today that Simon's great response to this question allowed the beautiful and bountiful eyes of heaven to lock in with the curiosity of the eyes of earth because God spoke through Simon and he looked into the eyes of the holy carpenter and the great revelation during this time begins to take place. So therefore in Matthew 16 and 16, Simon says with all of the energy and all of his grit, of his girth and everything deep down on the inside of him. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then heaven and earth rejoices. The angels begin to sing. God sits up big and tall with his chest out, saying, now we're getting ready to take things to another level. This is why the survey had to go deeper than just the surface. This is why the survey had to go deeper than just the questions from the outsiders. This is why the survey had to go deeper, deep down into the pits, deep down into the abyss, deep down beneath everything, because Jesus knew that this was going to lay the foundation of something great. When Simon says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, now something magnificent is getting ready to happen. And what I want you to know that Jesus' response is, blessed are you, Simon, son of Barjona. And for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then there's something that magnificent that happens here. Jesus changes his name from Simon to Peter, because remember, in Peter in Hebrew means the rock. And what I want us to understand as we're getting ready to lay this foundation of our message on today, and I want you to know something here. I want you to understand something here. In Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus says, but upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not, will not, cannot, even if they tried, even if they throw stones, even if they try to set it on fire, even regardless to whatever it does, the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. And on today, I am so pleased to say, as you see up on the screen right now, our message on today is upon this rock, part three, framing the foundation. That's right, framing the foundation. Let us open up with a word of prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Spirit of the living God, Lord, we thank you so much for just another wonderful time to come together on this morning, Lord. Lord, I ask that you renew our minds, renew our strength, Lord, and you get the glory out of this message, Lord. Somebody's life is going to be changed from framing the foundation. Somebody's life is going to go to the next level because of this message. Somebody's life is going to be encouraged, inspired. Somebody is going to grow in the soil and their life is going to go to a whole nother level. So Heavenly Father, Lord, just prepare our hearts and our minds. Prepare our hearts and our minds and help us to open up to receive your word in the name of Jesus. We love you and we thank you and we give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen. I want to thank everybody for joining us on today. And I just want to leave with you a few thoughts on this morning. Let's talk about something here. As we've been talking about the building structure and everything else, I'm going to just kind of throw something out here. When you think about a frame, one thought that usually comes to mind is something like something that holds a picture. Something that holds a picture. A picture frame can act as a boundary between the painting and the background of the surface. And it helps focus the attention on the photo or the portrait. That's the beautiful thing about a frame. A picture frame can also have a decorative feature. You can see frames. They can be very decorative on the outside, and they can enhance. They can enhance the picture. They can help enhance the painting. They can help enhance the picture. Now, there are many types of frames. And for the purposes of this message on today, I want to focus on a specific type of frame on this morning. This is more of a temporary frame. It's not a permanent frame. It's more of a temporary frame. And this is a frame that you will only see while work is being done. Once the work is done, then this frame goes away. Once the work is done, then this frame goes away. As we're here talking about this series here, Upon This Rock, we've been using cement, ladies and gentlemen, to describe our building process. We've been using cement because cement is about as close to rock that we can get. And we're using that because cement is what we use to build our structural foundations. Last week, if you recall, we talked about the cement truck and the cement tank on that truck. It continues to revolve and it keeps things moving because cement in that phase of it, if we've talked about the different phases of matter, cement is in its liquid form. So that truck has to have that tank to continue to revolve so it can keep the cement in its liquid state of form. Because as we said last week, and this is just a little refresher, once the tank stops, then cement begins to take its formation. Once the tank stops, cement then begins to form into its final formation. But what happens is this tank, as it continues to revolve, what it's doing is it's keeping that cement, okay, in a state where it can be poured. And as long as cement is in its liquid state, as long as cement is revolving in the truck, cement has the ability to then be molded and shaped. And once it's time for that cement to be poured out, the concrete finishers, okay, once it comes out of that chute, the concrete finishers are right there. They're in position, they're in place, and they're ready to help form it into the shape that it needs to be in. Don't somebody know God is going somewhere with this message? Because I want you to see the next slide that we have up on this morning. As we've stated, when God is ready to pour you out for your purpose, he will have the right people in place to help mold and shape your vision. And remember, as long as your vision is lined up with God, it's his vision that's working through you. So he will mold and shape your vision. This is what I want us to know, and this is what I want us, in fact, to understand. That as God says in Jeremiah, okay, what he says in Jeremiah is that he knows the plans that he has for you. In other words, he knows the blueprint that he has for your life. He knows that. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's the blueprint. We had a message last year called the blueprint. Remember Jesus giving that sermon on the mountain. He was laying the foundation of the blueprint. But then as he began to give this survey, now the foundation is getting ready to get established. Now, interesting enough, as we talk about that, we're talking about God doing things in decency and in order. You know, my wife, who's always right here by my side, you know, she and I, we were talking yesterday here, and she was sharing with me. She began to share with me some revelations about what God, that God given her. And she shared that with me, what he had laid on her heart. And she shared with me about, you know, in Genesis chapter one, how God is so structured. He is so organized and he does things in decency and in order. In fact, what he did was he separated light from darkness, and he also separated water from land. Think about that. There was a great separation that took place because the earth was void and it was without form. So God came in and brought some structure among the earth, some structure among the universe. Now, the key word that stuck out as she was sharing all that with me, the key word that stuck out was the word separated. God separated. There was some distinguishment. And that stuck out with me because that means separation means there's a divide. Hold that thought right there. I'm going to move where the Holy Spirit is having me to move. When Moses was given the power to part the Red Sea, there was a great divide. Okay? When what I want us to understand is that when God does something, he does it in decency and in order. And when something seems like there is no way to get out of it, there's no way to get beyond it, whatever, God will part the ways of that situation and give you the separation that's needed so that you can move forward into your purpose and your plan. God is all about doing things in decency and in order, and you will be able to see the divide when God intervenes. I want somebody to put that in the chat. You will be able to see the divide when God intervenes. See, you might have been going down a dark road, but God stepped in and created a divide. You might have been going into a dark place, but God stepped in and created a divide. You might have been going and you never knew that hurt, harm, or danger was waiting on you, but God did something to create a divide. Oh, somebody better put that in the chat. The Holy Spirit is doing something on this morning. I know I've got some notes, but I'm flowing with the Spirit. When God steps in and gives you a divide, I want you to understand that he's doing it in decency and in order, and we have to trust what he's doing. Because everything that God did, there was a divide. Do you know that the lions did not eat Daniel because there was a divide? Did you know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not burn because there was a divide? Do you know that there was a divide when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and the enemy came to attack him and tempt him and persuade him and do all these things because there was a divide? Don't you understand that the Holy Spirit will continue to create a division in your life because hell is trying to get into your mind? Hell is trying to get into your life. Angels of protection are around you. Do you understand the importance of God's divide? Oh, Holy Spirit is doing something on this morning. He's kind of moving me into a different direction. You better thank God for that divide that's in your life. You better thank God for that separation that's in your life. You better thank God because you were going to the right. He pivoted you to the left, and he will create that divide so that nothing can get to you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And you better understand that God will divide. He will divide what's needed. He will separate what's needed. He will take you from danger seen and unseen, and he will take you and pick you up and turn you around. Do you understand that the divide of God is a divine God? I want you to understand the divide of God is a divine God. God does things as he is in his divinity. And his holy divinity represents the division between what hell can touch and what hell cannot touch. You better thank God for the divide. Do you know every single day as you're going out here in the streets? Yeah, we are going in a different direction this morning. Every single day as we leave our house, there is something called COVID-19 that wants to come in and impact us. We're in enclosed buildings. We're in places all the time. But you better thank God for that divide. You better thank God for his protection. You better thank God for parting the Red Sea. You better thank God for keeping you children. There is something unique about God's divide. Yep. There is something unique about what God divides. What God puts together, let no man separate, but what God divides is because it's divine. What God divides is because it's divine. Oh, y'all better help me preach. You better put that out there in the chat land or whatever you do. When God divides, it's because of his divine. Oh, Holy Spirit, you moving on this morning. Let me get back to where we were because I'll take off and start running and I will leave all of y'all because when God begins to speak, I just listen and I allow the Holy Spirit to flow. But the key word again that stuck out is so you didn't know you was going to help me preach this morning. When the key word that stuck out was the word separate. And sometimes separation is looked at in a negative content. But what I want us to understand here as we're going into this word here, where the separation, there is a divide. In other words, there is a division. We have to be able to distinguish good from evil, light from darkness. And where there's separation, there's a form of division. Let me give you another context. Let me break this down. Let me go a little bit deeper than this. Is it all right if I go deeper with this? Okay. In heaven, okay, what I want us to understand is Lucifer, let's talk about him for a second. He don't like for us to talk about him, but I'm not afraid to talk about him. He had a job to do in heaven. And his job was to conduct the angelic host. He was basically the chief musician. Okay? And what he would do is, and where we get the structure and the formation of praise and worship in church, is this is how things happen in the angelic host, okay? Okay, and what happened was he would have the angels, he would direct the angelic choir, he would do all of these things. He was a chief musician, and this is what he was doing. This is what his job was, okay? He was the conductor. He was a chief musician, so he was in charge of all of the music and the praise and worship. No coincidence that sometimes praise and worship and music, sometimes that's where division is created in church. That is a mark of the enemy. It started way back in the angelic host. Ain't nothing new up under the sun, all right? He began to see when God would step out to be able to speak, how everybody would get to praising and worshiping God. And he's sitting there thinking, hey, listen, I'm the Flavor Flav of this group. I'm getting everybody hyped. I'm getting everybody ready. Wait a second. Why is he getting all the praise? Why is he getting all the praise? Then he began to start smelling himself. Then he began to start thinking, hey, wait a minute, this is because of me. Then he began to start thinking that, wait a minute, I'm the one that's hyping everybody up here. Where are my credits? Where is my praise? Where are my accolades? Where is my kudos? And then he began to start thinking that he was God. Then he start saying, hey, I want to snatch some of that praise. God began to realize what he was doing. And that's when the enemy got kicked out of heaven. Okay, that's when he got kicked out of heaven and got sent to hell. And Isaiah talks about that. Okay, Jesus talks about that also in the Gospels as well. I saw Satan falling down, right, as a falling star. Okay, all those things happen. Why am I talking about this? Because Satan wanted to get in and create division. God had one vision. Satan wanted to have another vision. God is about decency and in order. So what am I getting at here? Whenever there's an entity that's moving forward and God has given you a vision, wherever there's division that's coming in, that's a recipe for disaster. So it is up to you as the visionary. It is up to you as the leader. It is up to you to stay close to God so that God will give you the eyes that you cannot see to see when there is division that's getting ready to come in and take place. Because remember, if it's not being done in decency and in order, things are subject to be able to fall, okay? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. You know that saying? That's where that comes from. God took a stand. He put Lucifer in his place, and therefore we have all the benefits for heaven because of God's move. All right. I just wanted to make reference to that there because we're talking about divide, and I want to make sure that we understand this is where it came from. That's where division came from. Two different visions. God wasn't having that. Okay. So let's circle this back here. Now, another thing on another sense here, with tomorrow being MLK Day, okay, Dr. Martin Luther King, he had vision for bringing unity among divisiveness in this country. His dream was to see peace and unity among all men. The I Have a Dream speech and so many different speeches that he's given was all about bringing us together and trying to do the best that he could to help us to see the importance of coming together and not continuing to be divided. And I want to encourage all of us, especially on tomorrow, but it needs to also be every day. I want to encourage all of us to keep the legacy of the dream alive. But going back to this word separation, not everything about separation is bad. Okay? When separation can represent boundaries, as we just talked about, such as a frame, which is the context of our word on today, it can be a good thing. Because here's one thing I want us to understand. Boundaries can represent discipline. Boundaries can mean there is a limit. Boundaries can also represent a certain structure. Now, let's circle this back and bring this home. And like Joe Madison says, let's put this where the goats can get it, right? Let's put it out there so we can all understand where we're going with this. During the construction process, the foundation is one of the most important phases. But the foundation has to first be developed. Before the foundation can become the foundation, there has to be some boundaries set. It's part of the process. That's part of the plan. There first has to be framing the foundation. Okay, it took us a little bit to get here, but now we're talking about framing the foundation. Y'all hold on. We're getting ready to go somewhere. God is about to drop some dimes, so don't you leave right about now. Before concrete can be poured out, there has to be some framing work done first. Okay. Before concrete can be poured out, before it comes out of the chute, remember it's been revolving in the tank. Okay. And before it comes out of the chute, there has to be some framing work done first where the concrete is getting ready to be poured. When it comes to concrete framing, here's how it works. There's plywood that has to take shape. It has to be in the shape in which the foundation is going to be uphill. Okay. So there's some rebar that also goes in, and I would have had some photos up this morning here just to kind of give you, you know, I'm a very artistic person. I like for you to see that, but just imagine. Okay, there we go. There we go. Thank you, sir. We got some rebar. You see the rebar that's coming up out of there. You see there's a framework kind of going around, and usually there's some plywood or some 2x4s that's kind of into that particular structure right there. And as you see all of that, as you're looking at the photo, all of that was already set in place before that concrete is coming out of the chute. That is what we call the framework. That, ladies and gentlemen, is called the framework. Eric, you do a wonderful job, and thank you so much. You're like the organist that knows where the preacher is going in the world of digital technology here. So I appreciate you, sir. So when it comes to that framing, again, as I say, some plywood is placed out there, and it creates that boundary. And you saw the rebar, those little metal spokes that were kind of going up sometimes, and sometimes the rebar, it goes horizontally as well, because it's helping keep things in its structure. It's helping keep things in decency and in order, because since concrete, here's this, because concrete in its liquid form can go any and everywhere, even concrete, serving the full purpose that it is, still has to have some structure. How about this? Michael Jordan, as great as he was as a basketball player, Michael Jordan did not win championships until somebody helped him to understand structure. It took a guy by the name of Phil Jackson to come in and help Michael understand it's not always about winning, scoring championships. How can you involve your other teammates? When Michael understood that form of structure, that's when he became a 6-time world champion. Muhammad Ali was great, but Angelo Dundee had to help him understand structure. Okay, Tom Brady, as good as he was, okay, his best games, his best, and some could argue with this, his best football was when he came up with a guy by the name of Bill Belichick. Okay, it's something about having structure in your life that you can have the talents, you can have the liquid version of cement, but you have to be poured into a structure so that you can be used for your ultimate purpose. So I want us to just thank God for the people that represent the framework in our lives. Maybe there was a coach one day for you. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was an uncle or an aunt or whoever that was. God is going to make sure people are in your life to help establish the framework so that you can be used for your ultimate purpose to hold the foundation of what he has for you to have. Somebody better thank God for that word on this morning here. So what I want us to understand here, this is called the pre-work. Stay with me now. This is called the pre-work, and it has to be done before the concrete is poured out. So let me say it like this. This is the type of work that has to be done before God pours your vision out. The pre-work has to be done. Okay, all the pre-work, all the lessons, all the tests, all the trials, all the tribulations, everything that's going on in your life, that is all the pre-work to get ready for that concrete to be poured out so that the foundation of your vision can be structured, okay? Now, I want y'all to do something for me. I know we're all digitized. I know we're online here, but you can say it. And I want you to just say this for me. Say, God, do the pre-work so my vision can be poured out. Okay, I want y'all to say that again, even put it in the chat. Say, God, I want you to ask him from the bottom of your heart. Say, God, do the pre-work so my vision can be poured out. We have not because we ask not. God can't open a door if we don't answer it. He can't come in, right? Knocking the door shall be open. Ask and then it shall be given. It is up to us to make sure that we ask God, okay? We ask God for what he needs for us to do. So if you're wondering where you are in your life right now, and you don't see where you're going in your life right now, I want you to ask God, God, do the pre-work, okay? Do the pre-work so my vision can be poured out. Ask him to do that pre-work. He wants to do that pre-work, but he needs you to confess with your tongue. He needs you to ask. He said, anything you ask in my name shall be given. So let's end that with in Jesus' name. So God, do the pre-work so my vision can be poured out in Jesus' name. That's what we want to do. And then when we ask God that, God is going to go to work. When we ask God that, now he's going to now start manifesting some things, and things are going to start lining up in your life, because the framing represents the separation needed to identify what the foundation is going to hold. We talked about the picture frame. Now we're talking about the foundation's frame. And now we're talking about the pre-work that's getting ready to come forth. The framing is that separation. It's the borders. It's the boundaries, okay, that's needed to identify what the foundation is going to hold. You're going to see the framework before you see the foundation. The framework is going to create that boundary from the standard earth to now where there's the foundation that's going to be built. So let's bring this into a biblical text. I know I've talked your ear off about construction and all that good stuff here, but now let me kind of bring this into a biblical state. Simon, before his name was changed to Peter, represents the framing season of Peter's life. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that again, because I want you to understand that. When he was Simon, that was the framework. And Simon represents the framing season for Peter's life. Same person, two different seasons. This is where the pre-work was being done. All of the pre-work was being done as his name was Simon. Take a look at this slide that we're getting ready to put up here. We all have a Simon season in our lives until God calls us into our purpose. We all have a Simon season in our lives until God calls us into our purpose. Think about some of the things that you have experienced and how those things got you prepared for what God needs to do through you. I want you to understand something here. God is going to do that through you. But let me put another slide up here this morning, because God is dropping some dimes. Your Simon season got you ready for your Peter purpose. Oh, how about that dime right there from the Lord? Your Simon season got you ready for your Peter purpose. Now, how about that? In other words, when Jesus found him, he was Simon. When Jesus found him, he was his businessman. He was a fisherman. His name was Simon. Jesus said, come. And he was talking to Simon. That's when Jesus found him. But when Simon found Jesus, he became Peter. Mm-hmm. When Simon found Jesus, he became Peter. This is what I want us to understand. Because God is dropping some dimes during this message on today. And I'm going to say that again. Okay, let's say that again. And I want you to really process what I'm saying. When Jesus found him, he was Simon. When Simon found Jesus, he became Peter. That messed me up when the Holy Spirit gave that to me yesterday, because when you think about it, it's Jesus saying, who do you say that I am? And what happened, in other words, is that I know that I picked you, but have you found me? See, all this time, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus just told the disciples to come and I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't say when. He just said, come, follow me. This is why we talked about following first. See how all these messages begin to connect? See how everything is done in decency and in order? All he asked him to do was come. Come as you are. Come as the businessman that you are. Come as a tax collector as you are. Come as everything else. And I'm going to do all the cutting. I'm going to do all the cleaning. I'm going to do all the preparing. I'm going to do the molding and the shaping. I just need you to come. So when he called him and he asked him to come, he was Simon. But after sitting in the soil for a while, after allowing that seed to be cultivated for a while, after allowing the love to be able to pick him up and turn him around and see all the miracles and see everything, something began to connect. And when Jesus, again, I say he went deeper in that survey when he said, who do you say that I am? I want y'all to know that very moment, Simon found Jesus and he found the Christ. At that moment, he was no longer referred to as Simon again. In other words, if there was another title I would have given this message, it would have been called, I'm framing you to find me. I'm framing you to find me. 3 years of dirt work, 3 years of molding and shaping, 3 years of miracles, and 3 years of going back and forth with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and helping them to see, let he who is without seeing cast the first stone, and all of these things here. And you shouldn't be performing miracles on a Sabbath. And Jesus is saying, hey, wait a minute, somebody needs me now. I'm not going to let whatever day of the week it is stop me from doing what I came here to do. Okay. At some point, the message has to resonate. And that's what this moment represents. The message had finally resonated with at least one. So what I want us to understand here, and because you found me, Peter, now you can see, okay? You can see clearly now all of the framework has been done, because I'm framing you to find me. And I want us to understand something. When Jesus is framing you, it's so that you can find him. It's so that now that you can see him. And so then now that you can go deeper to understand your purpose, to understand your plan, to know what the world means to you now, because now you live in world through the lens of Christ. He's framing you to find him, ladies and gentlemen. He is framing you so that you can find him. You once were blind, but at least you were following. You might not have seen, but you were following. You might not have understood, but you were following. You might not have knew everything that was taking place in your life, but you were following. And after a little while, after you have followed, you're going to find that he's going to change your name. What I want us to understand here is you're being framed to be found, and you're being found to be framed. Yeah, you're being framed to be found, and you're being found to be framed. You're being found to be framed. You're being found to be framed. That's what it means. When you finally understand your purpose, you're going to be found. And understand that your framing process is so that you can find. That's what this is all about. And right now, wherever you are in your life, I want to speak to somebody right now. It may not look like what you're going through is important. Because when you're driving through a construction area, a residential construction area, you can see the frame all around that subdivision, and it doesn't look important. You just got wood around the standard dirt, and that's all you see. There's nothing appealing about that. There's no eye candy there. You don't even know what it's going to be. You don't know anything. All you see is wood. Don't let that discourage you, because that's all you see. Don't let the framing season discourage you, because that's all anybody else can see. It may not look like it's important, but you can still see the ground through the frame. But I want you to understand something. I'm going to explain it to you like this. Some of you are growing weary in this season right now in your life. And you're growing season because it seems like God is not even moving. How long am I going to stay in this framing season? See, Jesus, when he told the disciples to follow him, he didn't say how long this was going to be. He didn't tell them how long they were going to be following him. He just told them to come. That's all he did. And when you're going through your framing season in your life right now, you may not know how long that's going to be, but just know that he's doing some things to get you ready for the concrete to be poured. That's what's coming next. So don't get weary in well-doing. I want you to stay the course and know that it's okay to be in your framing season. It doesn't matter that people can't see all the bells and whistles. It doesn't matter that people can't see or compare you to what somebody else is going through or experiencing. It doesn't matter what it doesn't look like to anybody else. You stay, okay, you've stayed in the tank, okay? You know that your framing season is right there. Just stay in the pocket. Just stay where you are. Just let God continue to keep you where you are in this season. Simon was Simon all of his life until Jesus in that moment came in and said, you're now Peter. All of his life, he was Simon until he had that Peter moment. All of his life, he was Simon until he had that Peter moment. All of your life, you've been who you were until God says, now it's time for another level in your life. That's what I want us to understand. But let me tell you this here. Don't give up. I want you to just hold on a little while longer, because here's what's getting ready to happen. That concrete truck, before you know it, he's going to start backing in. And before you know it, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to start hearing beep, beep, beep. He's going to start coming in. Then before you know it, you're going to see this person jumping in. You're going to see that person jumping in. You're going to see concrete finishers showing up all around you. And the concrete truck is going to be coming in a whole lot faster. He's going to be coming in closer to you. You're going to see the concrete shooting out, and everybody around you is going to get to work. And all you're going to be doing is looking around, and you're going to say, where did he come from? You're going to be saying, where did she come from? You're going to say, where did these people chip in? Hey, where is that? Hey, everybody's a part of this vision. Before you know it, and your due season is going to be coming. And I want you to know that God is getting you ready for this moment. Because when that concrete is poured out, it's time for the workers to get to work in. When that concrete is poured out, it's time for things to start taking shape. When that concrete is poured out, it is now time to start building something with some structure. Because eyes have not seen, nor have ears heard of the wonderful things that God has for those that love him. So I want you to stay in the tank, and I want you to appreciate your frame and season, because know that there is a season for every reason. For every reason, there is a season. So don't you get weary in well-doing. I want you to understand that frame and season means something to God. It means something to God. He's just looking at those boundaries that are created. He's looking at those borders that's right there. He's looking at everything that you're doing and how you're still trusting in him, how you're not giving up in him. You're not giving up on the vision, regardless to how long that it might take. You know that just a little while longer, if you just hold on and don't give up, that concrete truck is going to back in and you're going to hear beep, 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 and everything is going to change and you're going to go to a different season in your life. Because what I want you to understand that when it's time for your Peter purpose, when it's time for your Peter purpose, the timing is going to be just right. You're going to look all around you and everything is going to start manifesting. Everything is going to start going into fruition. Everything is going to start doing what God says it's going to do. But don't you give up during this season. Because God knows just what he's doing. God knows how to turn up the fire. God knows when it's time to bring that concrete truck in. God knows when it's time to place the right people around you, because he is able to do, remember this from last year, exceedingly, right? Abundantly above all that we can ask, above all that we can think, because of the power that lives in us. And when it is time to pour, ladies and gentlemen, as I close, when it is time to pour that gift out, the pouring will in fact happen. But the framework, ladies and gentlemen, has to be done first. The framework has to be done first. And we're going to put a slide up here on this morning. I want you to see when it's time to pour out your Peter purpose, God will reveal to you when the time is right. When it is time to reveal your Peter purpose, God will reveal to you when the time is right. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time and a season for everything. And when God, let me just speak for myself here. I've been in this tank for a long time. I've been in church all my life, but I've been in this tank for a long time. And the framework has been taking place for a long time. But suddenly, somebody put in the chat, suddenly, when God says now it's time for the concrete truck to come in, what I want you to understand is then when he said go, then it was time for me to start preaching. Okay, I've been an assignment. See, those of you that know me, I'm going to just make this personal for a second. A lot of y'all have known me as Jeremy all my life. You knew that part of me. You knew that season of me. That was my Simon season. But when God said no, then came Spirit of Inspire Love Church. Now I'm fulfilling my Peter purpose. And if God is doing this for me, he's going to do this for you as well. But you have to be able to see what God is doing. And when God gave me the green light that it was time to start preaching, time to start bringing forth this ministry, it poured out of the chute. And because this gift that had been revolving in a tank for a very long time, it was ready for it to come out. And now God has been placing people around in this ministry. He's been placing the concrete finishers around to help bring forth this vision. I'm not telling you anything that I haven't experienced myself. I'm not telling you anything that I haven't seen myself. I would have never thought some people that I've had relationships would be concrete finishers in this vision, because God will do amazing things and God works in mysterious ways. So what I want us to know and understand as I close on this morning, the framing, ladies and gentlemen, creates the necessary boundaries for the pouring of the concrete. You have to have the necessary boundaries, because concrete is in liquid form and it has to have a structure. It has to be poured into a structure. And this allows the concrete to be formed into the shape that it needs to be in. This is why we talked about not everything about boundaries are a bad thing. Because when God works, he works in decency and in order, and he is all about structure. Now, my very last slide that you see up here on this morning is coming from Isaiah 64:8. And it says, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. And we are all the work of your hand. And when that concrete comes out of the shape, when that concrete comes out of the sheet, it's being molded. It's being shaped. It's being placed into the formation that it needs to be in, because this is how God does all of us. He knew before we entered the womb of our mothers, he already foreknew us. But we had a framing season to go through in our lives to become the Jeremiah 29 and 11, to manifest those plans that he has for us. I'm going to leave you here with a few questions here before I close on this morning here. And I want to leave these thoughts on you here. And I want to thank you for tuning in with us on this morning. What good does it do for me, myself? What good does it do for me to preach? And there is no ministry to house this gift. If you are right now in your frame and season, I just want you to thank God and know that it's more important than just the pouring. Another question I have for you here is, what good does it do to pour out? What good does it do to pour out your gift if there is no structure to receive the pouring? You need to thank God for every season in your life. You need to thank God for everything that he's doing in your life. What good does it do to pour out the gift if there is no structure to receive the gift? What good does it do to have vision and there is no one to help carry it forth? Remember, it was never meant for man to be alone. Okay, two are better than one, all right? And a threefold cord is uneasily destroyed. Remember that. What good does it do, ladies and gentlemen, to go through your Simon season and can't recognize when God is ready to move? God may be ready to move in someone's life right now, but you're too focused on what you don't see. You're too focused on what everybody else is doing. And you're looking at what everybody else has and everybody else's organization, everybody else's business, everybody else's church, everybody else's ministry, everybody else's nonprofit organization, whatever that is, and you cannot see the season that he has you in your life. What I want you to understand is this, ladies and gentlemen, regardless to what you see, remember, he sees what you don't see. He hears what you don't hear. This is why he says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. And this, in this season in your life, this is where you have to have faith, because faith is the substance of things. It's the evidence of things unseen. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things unseen. This is where faith has to shine. This is where faith has to have something to do. Remember our message. You have to give faith something to do. Let faith do the looking for you. Put that in the chat. I need to be reminded of that. Let faith do the looking for you. I want to see that in the chat. I want you to tweet that, put that whatever you need, because I need somebody to be encouraged by that. Let faith do the looking for you. And this way you don't get discouraged by what you don't see. But don't you give up. Let faith do the looking. Don't you give up. Let faith understand where things are. Don't you give up because you don't see it with your own natural eye. Let faith do the looking for you. You're looking for the concrete slab, but you don't value the framework in hand. It's time for us to change the way we see some things. It's time for us to change the way we look at the season that we're in. And I want you to understand, as I put my last slide up, as I'm ready to close on this morning, the slab cannot become the slab without the framework. The slab cannot become the slab without the framework. And the most important thing, ladies and gentlemen, we can allow God to do in our lives is the framing of the foundation. Somebody out there has gotten very discouraged. You don't like your frame and season because it seems like you're ready to move. You're ready to push forward. And right now, this very moment, whoever you are, I just want you to lift your hand. And I just want to pray with you. Heavenly Father, Lord, allow encouragement, Lord, where there is discouragement. Lord, allow joy to be restored where there is sorrow. I know what it's like to see other things and it looks like you're not moving and you're just staying stagnant. But Lord, you make no mistakes. And for everything that you do, there is a reason, there is a season. Lord, I pray for restoration in that person's mind, their heart, their thoughts, to not get weary in well-doing. And whoever it is that's in their framing season right now, know it's not a beautiful sight, but it is the most important sight for the foundation to be built. Let us appreciate the season that we're in, Heavenly Father. Let us thank you, Lord Jesus, for wherever we are in our lives. And regardless to what we don't see, let faith do the looking for us so that we don't get weary in well-doing. And for that person on this morning, Lord Jesus, that needs to know who you are, they don't know you as the holy carpenter. They don't know that you're going to prepare a place for us. They don't know you, Lord Jesus, as their personal savior. And whoever that is on today, I want to tell you right now, I want you to repeat after me, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I've been a sinner long enough. And Lord, I'm ready for my Peter purpose. I believe that you died and that you rose on the first day, on the third day, with all the power and with all the glory. And I believe that you're my savior. And I believe that you're coming back soon. And I want to thank you for changing my life. And I want to thank you for saving my life. If that was you on this morning, and you have accepted the Holy Carpenter as your personal savior, I just want to thank God for you on this morning. Thank God, because you are now a part of a team of journeyman carpenters. This is a team that never loses. This is a team that can build the toughest of structures. This is a team that will go and do wonderful things in this earth. And we need you to be a part of this team. There is a concrete season that's getting ready to get poured out. And it is time for your gifts, your talents, and everything to go forth, because God needs for you to do something on this day and time. Okay? So I want to thank God for you here. I just want to let you know you can reach out to me. Send me a note. If you've dedicated your life to Christ, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. That's right, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. I'd love to connect with you, or you can DM me on Facebook. I talk to people all the time. Send me a text, whatever it is. I just want to stay connected to you, say some prayers for you, okay? And I want to thank you for all that you folks do. But hey, the gospel is free, but it ain't cheap. All right. The gospel is free, but it ain't cheap. I heard a preacher tell me that one time. I've been enjoying that for a long time, because listen, it takes resources to keep things going. It takes resources as we're building this church right now. You guys are seeing everything manifest right before your eyes. It takes resources to allow these things to happen. So as you see up on the screen right now here, you see we've got options to give here. We've got Givelify. Okay, we've got the Givelify. You can scan that QR code right there. It'll take you right to our Givelify site. And then also Zelle. I appreciate all of you that have been given on Zelle. You can send that to Zelle. Pull up our church's email address, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. Thank you for everything. I pray over every seed that comes in individually. But right now, I want to pray over every seed collectively. Heavenly Father, thank you for every seed, Lord Jesus. Every seed. There is a need for every seed and a seed for every need. And I want to thank you right now, Lord. I want to speak a hundredfold return, Lord. Somebody is believing you for something, Heavenly Father. They're going to continue to plant and water that seed, Lord. We're going to give that resource because we're stepping out on faith, and we're going to be obedient to do what you said to do, Lord. I thank you for all the blessings that are going to be manifested for the obedience. You said, Lord, obedience is greater than sacrifice. And we're going to be obedient because you said, bring all ye tithes into the storehouse. You said, give and it shall be given to us, you know, with good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, Lord. If we want to receive, we have to give, Lord. We have to understand that the giving is first. And I thank you for every seed that's being planted into this soil in Jesus' name. This is good ground, y'all. And I am seeing blessings manifest. I am seeing blessings manifest from so many people that are giving. And I just want to thank all of you for everything that you're doing here on this morning. Then you can give to us old school as well, to that P.O. box, but nobody's doing that. I ain't, you know, it's all good here. Well, you know, if you want to, the P.O. box, 180972 Arlington, Texas. That's right. Right down the street from the world champion. That's right. I said it. World champion. I don't take it back. The world champion, Dallas Cowboys. Who's going to put a beat down on them 49ers on today? That's right. I said it. Yeah, I'm talking no. That's right. But I want to thank all of y'all. Just having a little fun with you. I want to thank all of y'all for tuning in with us on today. You know what? Laughter is medicine to the soul. Make sure you laugh. Make sure, put on your favorite movie, okay? Put on something to make you laugh. Get around people that can make you laugh. Laughter is medicine to the soul. There's so much that goes on in our world on today. We need to laugh more than ever before. Find some good things. Think on those things which are pure, lovely, okay? The best, not the worst, the good, not the bad. When you do that, God will give you peace. He says it in the book of Philippians, okay? So find something to laugh about. Laughter is medicine, okay? It's a remedy, okay? It's something that does something to our souls, and it releases endorphins. It does so many things to us physically, spiritually, and mentally, okay? So laugh on today. Find something to laugh about, and I'm gonna tell you something. We're gonna be back next Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, and as I always say, don't meet me there, beat me there, and for you 49ers fans out there, I'm already laughing at y'all. Hey, we'll see y'all next week. I love y'all. Take care. Enjoy this beautiful day on today.
There's been a drought for way too long. We need to sing our freedom songs. Oh Lord, we need a touch from you. We really need a touch from you. Lord, we need to hear your voice. Our hearts are open, we have no choice. Oh Lord, we need a touch from you. We really need a touch from you. Send your last breath.
We all know that having the newest styles and latest merchandise is an important part of your day. That's why you must check out the new online store for We Talk Radio Network. From the best quality t-shirts and hoodies to leggings and oversized blankets, we've got you covered. We even have merch for all the youth. Check us out at wetalkradio.com/shop. And while you're there, pick up an advertising package for your business or your next big project. We can customize a marketing package just for you to get your business in front of your neighbors. Go to wetalkradio.com/shop and shop.
Times are different today. Things are happening that have never happened before in the history of our world. And out of all the chaos that we're seeing and that we're experiencing, we need the word of God like never before. We need the word of God like we've never needed the word of God before. And I'm asking you to come grow with us in the soil, to receive good sound, biblical teachings that answer and speak to where we are on today. This is Pastor Jeremy J. Glenn of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. We call it the Soil Church. And I want to see you come grow with us in the soil. You can follow us on Facebook at Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. Follow us on YouTube, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And as always, we'll be right here on We Talk Radio's Shine Lord Station, 10 a.m. every Sunday. And you can follow us there. But you have many multiple ways to follow us to grow with us in the soil. So come join me and allow God to speak to your spirit, so that we can understand what God needs for us to do in such a time as this. So again, come join me, Jeremy J. Glenn, Senior Pastor of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And I'm looking for you to not meet me there, but beat me there as we grow in the soil of the love of God. Don't meet me there, beat me there.
We Talk Radio Network is the fastest growing online talk and music radio station, broadcasting the highest quality shows available on the web. We talk, we listen, we take action, using our unique services to inform, inspire, entertain, educate, and connect our diverse audience to the global marketplace. Over 15 radio personalities make up the 11 shows that broadcast to over 100,000 listeners around the globe. Currently streaming on WeTalkRadio.com, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Offering a wide variety of shows and services, We Talk Radio has something for everyone. Tune in, follow us on social media, or visit our website at www.wetalkradio.com.